This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, coming out again with another message from God's Word by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. We bring in his messages. He's been gone on to be with the Lord many, many years now, and he left us. The Lord provided for us to air his messages. Several other broadcasters are doing that thing, and I appreciate it. But the message you'll hear today is God's effectual call. God's effectual call. And then also, I want to remind you, before we forget, 1 week from now is our Fall Fellowship Day. I wish some of you would go ahead and make plans, catch a plane or train or something. Come on down here and be with us. We have services all this coming week, every night, Monday through Thursday, Sunday through Thursday night. And then wind up next Sunday with our Fall Fellowship Day, 1 week from today. And let me hear from you. And you stay tuned now for the message that follows.
The word called, our calling, stands out throughout the entire Bible. God called Abraham. He left his country, walked by faith, lived by faith, died in the faith. God called Moses, and that call was so definite, until he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. God called David, and he left his sheepfold, followed him who was invisible until he fell asleep in the arms of Jehovah God. God called the apostles and left them on their faces crying, My Lord and my God. God called Saul of Tarsus, and when he came to the close of his life, he said, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision, that is, to the heavenly calling. In another place, he called it the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Through all ages, God has called men and women, and they have left the world, left their sins, forsook everything, and followed Him. God's elective grace is the foundation of God's salvation by blood redemption in Christ Jesus. Get it now, listen. God's divine call to the sinner is the evidence of election. Our subject today is God's elective call. I know this is just another way of stating God's divine call to the sinner, but I want us to look at that word call from just a little different angle today. The first question you may want to ask me is, what is the effectual call? In Romans 8:30, we find these words, get it? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. You see there that God's divine or effectual call is the evidence of predestination or God's elective grace. The effectual call is the gracious work of the Holy Spirit by which he brings the sinner out of Satan's family, out of the world, separated from sin, separated from himself, separated from all creatures, to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ freely as he is offered to the sinners in the gospel through the Word. Isn't that marvelous, my friend? And salvation, listen now, salvation in the mind of the average preacher and layman today is so insignificant, so unimportant, such an empty profession, such a shallow religious sentiment, until there is not manifested in that human heart the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes Christ a living, experimental reality to that human heart and human mind. Our preachers are so afraid they will offend someone today until they soft pedal the Word of God, and it's not going home in power to human hearts to change the course of their lives. You see, when God saves a sinner, it is Christ Himself who becomes the center and the circumference of that sinner's heart. It's Christ Himself who fills the horizon of that sinner's mind. In Romans 8:30, we find four great pillars of which make up the foundation stone of God's eternal salvation, and calling is one of them. The four great bedrocks are predestination, calling, justification, and glorification. And these people who teach that God's elect will be saved if they never hear the gospel, are blinded by the god of this world, and are on the road to hell because everyone that God predestinated, He calls. And those whom He calls, He will justify, and then glorify every justified sinner. God's effectual call brings forth a new creation in Christ. God's effectual call to the heart of a sinner quickens, makes alive, and raises that sinner from death unto life. God's effectual call, coming home to the sinner in power and much assurance by the Holy Spirit, brings that sinner out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and translates that sinner into the kingdom of God, making that sinner a new creation in Christ. The effectual call is the Holy Spirit. Get it now. Listen, hold your seat. Is the effectual call is the Holy Spirit brooding over that sinner and planting the seed of truth or the new nature in that sinner's heart, which we might call a spiritual conception, according to 1 Peter 1:23, being born or begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Also according to John 1:12, begotten of God. And Paul said, I have begotten you with the gospel. And James says, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, planting the new nature in the heart of that sinner, irrespective of his will, apart from his consent. And He waters it with His own tears, with the Word of God, and brings forth that individual as a son of God. Therefore, there can be no abortions in the kingdom of God. The individual that falls short of the divine or effectual call of God fails of the grace of God and never embraces Christ as Lord and Savior. Isn't that an awful truth? But it's true. The effectual call is an inward call. It's a call when God by grace works grace in the heart of a sinner. Let me say again, by this effectual call, the heart is renewed and the will is unshackled and made free to embrace Christ. My people, listen, get the Word of God now. Listen to the Word of God. My people shall be a willing people in the day of My power. You hear much about free will today, but is only free by the power of God. When God's power is displayed by the Holy Spirit through the Word, then men's wills are made willing to embrace Christ. The outward call brings men only to a profession of Christ. The inward call, or the effectual call, brings men to a possession of Christ. Now, there's a vast difference in professing Christ and possessing Christ, and the difference is between heaven and hell, saved and lost, Christ and Satan, life and death. Now let's notice the means that God uses in his effectual call to bring the sinner to Christ. You listen to me, will you? We might say the heavens call us to behold the glory of God, and the firmaments call us to behold the handiwork of God, but that's not the effectual call. Conscience calls us to the fact that we may be traveling the wrong road, or calls us that such and such a thing is wrong, but still, that is not the effectual call. Then God's judgments, all through his word, call upon us to repent, but man will not heed that call. He stifles his conscience, covers his face to the judgments of God, wills not to repent, and stumbles into hell. So we see that every voice that calls us does not lead us to salvation in Christ. I've heard many say to me, "Oh, Brother Sheldon, I've stood by the casket of my loved one and resolved to live a better life so I could meet my loved one in heaven." Sister, brother, that's not the effectual call. Many have prayed and prayed until they thought they had prayed through to salvation in Christ, but that's not the effectual call and does not lead to salvation. All such work is transient, like the morning dew soon dries up and leaves the old sinner just like he is. Now, you listen closely, will you? God has two means by which he sends forth the effectual call to the heart of a sinner, whether he be a preacher in the pulpit, or a deacon in the pew, or a drunkard in the gutter, which stops that sinner, unhorses that sinner, turns that sinner around, and causes that sinner to face God and give an account. The first is the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word. Paul said, "Preach the word." Someone has described it as the sounding of God's silver trumpet in the ears of men. Have you ever heard that silver trumpet? I have. He has ordained that by the foolishness of preaching, that men shall be saved, not by jokes, not by funny stories, not by moving pictures, not by flannel graph displays, not by reviewing books, not by preaching on politics, not by quoting poetry, but by preaching the word. God calls his ministers to speak to sinners by the word and in the word. It is not the minister's voice you hear. It is not the minister's voice that pierces like a barbed arrow into the heart of that sinner. Get it now? But it is the voice of God himself that makes that sinner tremble and stops him and causes him to begin to reflect upon himself. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by a message given, and that message falling from the lips of Jesus. I'm quoting Romans 10:17 literally. It is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the heart of the sinner from heaven through his ministers, through his ambassadors. Then we are to be fearless, courageous, uncompromising with the messages of God. You are lost on the road to hell, and unless you hear the word of the Lord Jesus speaking to you through the ambassador of the King of Glory, unless you are made to turn about face, you'll go to hell without warning. In other words, get it now? In every sermon I preach, God's call is to you and for you to refuse the message I bring is to refuse God himself. God only reveals Christ to the sinner's heart through the word of God. Now that's so, whether you believe it or not, my friend. Now the other means that God uses is his effectual call in his effectual call to sinners is the Holy Spirit. If I could use this illustration, let's compare the Word of God to a great organ with 66 great pipes. And the Holy Spirit of God, as the one who breathes upon this Word, and by it changes the hearts of men. this is clearly set forth in Acts 10:44 in these words. Listen, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word of God. What happened? They were brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their whole lives were changed because the Holy Spirit took the word and made it effective in the hearts of the hearers. That's the only way God saves a sinner today. Let's cut out all of this foolishness of playing church and making sinners believe they're saved apart from the inward working of the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. This truth is brought out in Acts 16:14 in these words. A certain woman named Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. We as God's ministers may take the Word of God and knock or hammer at the heart of sinners, but the Holy Spirit alone has the key that will open that heart for the Word to enter in. The entrance of thy Word giveth light. Every heart is locked against the Word of God. I can take it and hammer at your heart with it today, but only the Holy Spirit holds the key that'll unlock that heart and let it in. In the light of that word, the sinner begins to reflect upon his ruined, lost condition that makes him feel his need of Christ. And in proportion as the sinner feels his need of Christ, will he turn to Christ for salvation. In reality, no sinner will ever come to Christ except through the sheer agony of his own soul in his desperate need of forgiveness of sins, pardon from the guilt and penalty of sin in Christ. We don't see much work of the Holy Spirit like that today in our churches or out of our churches. There are very few who have any experimental knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ because they have never felt their dire need of a Savior. Then this brings us to our next thought, and that is, what does God call men from in His divine or effectual call to the hearts of sinners? First, God's effectual call to the heart of a sinner calls that sinner from sin. According to 1 Peter 1:14, He calls us from ignorance and unbelief. According to Ephesians 4:18, every sinner by nature is enveloped with darkness. Therefore, God calls sinners, according to Colossians 1:13, from darkness unto light. As Ephesians 5:8 says, "For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." God never saves a sinner in his sins. He calls them from their sins. In that call, get it now? Listen, in that call, there's a hatred and an abhorrence and another detestation of sin. You find very little hatred of sin today in the hearts of individuals. Multitudes who say they're saved have no more hatred for sin than the man in the moon. Why? Because they know nothing of the effectual call of God. In other words, the Word of God has never been carried home to their hearts in power and much assurance and in demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. When once that hatred in the human heart for sin has been placed there by the Spirit of the living God, he will hate sin until he walks within the pearly gates of glory land. He that stealeth will steal no more. There'll be a constant cry in the heart against every lust, every unholy desire, against all rebellion and jealousy and hatred and malice and so on. You're come to despise your own self-righteousness and self-humiliation. God calls you out of all of that. Yes, He does. In this effectual call that God gives one of His elect to bring him to salvation in Christ, He calls him from danger. I want you to get that now. He calls him from danger. There is an alarmed. Get it now. Listen. Listen. Sit up. Put down everything. Put down your paper. Put down everything. Now listen. There is an alarmed. Turned loose in the very heart of that sinner. We may call it a fire alarm. All at once he senses he's in danger. The whole world around him has come under judgment of the holy God. He stands in fear and awe of the living God. The foundations on which he once stood are now all giving away. That which he once thought was virtue becomes sin. That which he once thought mercy now becomes a living judgment in his heart, and he turns to see which way to flee. Everywhere he turns, it's judgment. Just as the angels call Lot out of the city of Sodom, saying, "Get out! We're going to rain fire and brimstone down upon this city." So when the effectual call comes home to the heart of the sinner, he begins to flee to a refuge of safety. He may try church membership. He may try baptism. He may try reforming his life. He may try quitting his sins. He may try reading his Bible. But all of that is no shelter from the gathering storms of God's wrath that becomes so real and effective to his own heart. The fear of God falls on him. He realizes he's under the curse of a broken law, and the judgment of God hangs over him. He's condemned and begins to cry, "Oh, where can I find pardon? Oh, where can I find deliverance? Is there no shelter for my guilty soul?" He cries, "Guilty, guilty, guilty, unclean, unclean," cries the condemned sinner. He's like Christian in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. He begins to flee from the city of destruction. He finds no shelter for his soul until he beholds the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen as his substitute, one who died in his place. Friend, I wish the Spirit of the living God would take home to your heart the living Word of God until it lays bare your very soul to its depths, to let you see the curse, the damnation, the judgment, the danger you're under. Oh, I wish you could see it, and that you'd begin to cry right where you are, "God save me. God deliver me. I'm going down to a devil's hell." I wish you could feel that hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. In other words, I wish you could see the danger you're in, that you'd turn unto the God of heaven, who's the covert of your soul, the hiding place for you to flee to. Sinner, have you ever felt that? Have you ever seen it? Let's go a step further. When God gives a sinner the effectual call, he not only calls him from sin and from danger, but he calls him out of the world. In Matthew 9:9, we find that when the Lord Jesus passed by Matthew at the receipt of custom, he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew left everything and followed Christ. In that 17th chapter of John, Christ said to his Father in that great prayer, "Father, they are not of the world." Let me tell you something, friends. Every individual who receives that divine call or that effectual call is not a native of this world. We are strangers and pilgrims. Our citizenship is not in this world, but in the world above. We are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed. When that is, God's divine effectually called children are not fashioned after the sinful fashions of this world. We live here, but we are not of the world. Our affections are set on things above. Our companions are not of this world. We will work in the world with the people of the world. We'll be thrown with them in all our daily pursuits of life. But the very moment you are released from that duty, you'll find your companionship with the children of God. You put that down and hold it, brother. According to Revelation 2:13, this world is the place where Satan's throne is. This world is the place where every act of sin is set forth. Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the god of every order of this world. Everyone who's received that divine effectual call from the Lord God of heaven is separated from the world. He says, "Be ye separate, come ye out from among them, and touch not the unclean thing." That's not a call to saints, that's a call to sinners. What fellowship has Christ with Satan? The Scripture also says, "He that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God." And the Scripture further says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So when the Holy Spirit carries the effectual call home to that sinner, it brings that sinner from death to life, from Satan to Christ, from heaven to hell, from death to life. And God's work cannot be defeated by any powers in earth or in hell. And when God begins a work in the human heart, He completes it until the day of redemption. Sinner, is God dealing with your heart? Huh? Is God dealing with your heart? If He is, that's mercy. Don't fight Him. That's mercy. God does not have to deal with any heart. The only thing God has to do is to leave us alone, and we'd go to hell without warning. That's right. That's right. I want to tell you, friends, let me tell you something. If God never sends forth that divine, that effectual call to your heart and the power of the Holy Spirit by the Word of God, and calls you from sin, calls you from danger, calls you from the world, calls you to embrace Christ as a living, experimental reality to your heart and soul, and you'll go to hell without warning. Salvation is of the Lord. All of this man-made salvation is causing hell to enlarge herself.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. We've been here a long, long time. Pastor Shelton used to make these messages on Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning, go out live. We didn't record them on it and all those things they have now. But he made them live. The choir came on live on Sunday morning with the ladies with the hair rolled up in the rollers and all of those things. But they were gracious times. I was able to go there many times. But the message that you hear today, that you heard today, was God's effectual call. It's by the late Pastor Elora Shelton. And I know we don't hear much about God's call and the effectual call. But I wish you, I hope you heard. And write and get this message on in print. We have all of these messages in booklet form, track form, we call it. And we'd be glad to send them to you, give them out if you would. This is free and postpaid. Also, I fail to mention a lot of times that we have CDs of all of these messages on CDs that you could purchase for a very small price. Call me and I'll quote you a price on any give you a title list of all of his messages, and you could obtain them to just a small offering. But remember, the message, God's effectual call, and in our mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Goodbye, and God bless you.